Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Up Close and Personal with your host, Annie Latin Jazzy Rodriguez. Sit back and enjoy the journey where the possibilities are limitless. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Up Close and Personal, everyone. It is Monday, and it has been snowing all last night. It's cold, but my guest today, he is at sunny L.A., and he is not suffering what we are doing here, but it is so amazing and nice and such a pleasure to have him here with us today. This young man, it's a handful, and he has a new CD out, and he calls it A Handful of Grooves, and I am talking about none other than Kenwood Anderson. Hey, Kenwood.
Hi, Annie. How are you?
Good, hon. Welcome to Up Close and Personal.
Thank you. It is truly a pleasure to be here.
I've been wanting to talk to you for some time now. I mean, we've talked on the phone before, but I'm glad that you aren't on the show. So how's the weather out there? I know you don't want to rub it in, but how is the weather at your side?
It is typical LA weather. I don't want to brag, but I'm from the East Coast. I'm from Rochester, New York, so I know all about cold and snow and blizzards and ice and all that. So I feel you, all the East Coasters dealing with the weather right now. I know what you're going through.
Oh, man. Oh, so I've been listening to your album, and that's pretty off the hook, hon. That's
so long.
Yeah, I mean, I was really, really impressed. Not that I would have expected anything less because of your background, but yeah, that was nice, really, really nice.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate that. It's been tough getting the album done and getting it right, but everybody's reaction so far has been really, really positive, and I'm not just saying that. It's been a pleasant surprise to hear people are really liking it, you know, so it feels good.
Yeah, it's groovy. It definitely is. Well, tell me, you know, how long you've been doing this? Because honest to God, you know, usually on an interview I would do my homework, but there's really not much out there about you unless I look at other people's websites that you have collaborated with, and there are so many, so therefore I'd rather get the story from you. Tell me about Kenwood Anderson.
Well, yeah, this is my first album as a leader, as an artist. But my whole life I've always been a drummer playing in different bands and doing a lot of freelance projects as well. And, you know, for most of my life I was just a drummer, you know, as I say all the time. I've always written songs and never really did anything with them. But in the last few years, I really got serious about, you know, so let me put out an album and see what happens. And this is the result of that. So it's been, I was with a band called Rio Soul, which is an original R&B funk band here in Los Angeles. I've been playing with The Real Deal Band, which is just a great, amazing cover band that has been playing around Southern California for the last few years. And in and out of different bands and just, you know, being a drummer and playing every gig I could possibly take and doing recording sessions and a few commercials, a few movie soundtracks. But just in the last few years, I just got, you know, just wanted to say, let me put out my own music and see what happens, see how people respond to it.
So what threw me there for a minute was that you call yourself a drummer, but you also do keyboards.
Yes. I actually, my first instrument was piano. When I was a little kid, I took piano lessons first, and I always kept up with it, but just mainly for writing. I mean, I just decided to specialize in drums, but I always dabbled with keyboards and especially with writing songs. And, you know, obviously on this album, the keyboards are highly featured, and I need to be a much better keyboard player. I want to learn and get better and practice. But, you know, with smooth jazz, it's not about drum solos and all of that. It's
right.
More about, you know, melodies and tastefulness and songwriting. So, I did all the keyboards on this, and that was a great challenge, but great fun as well. And then, I had my friend Shin Kawasaki playing guitars on this album, and he just really brought the songs to a whole new level. I mean, his contributions are just ridiculous.
You know, it is a very nice album. But, you know, that's what threw me off, because as I was writing, you know, doing my write-up and setting up the show, of course, you sent me the physical CD, and I played it right away and, you know, put it on my computer and on my hard drive, you know, just making sure I never lose it, you know, put it in different places, this and that, you know. And then as I'm doing the write-up for a Blog Talk, I'm like, wait a minute, do I have the right person? Because he's in front of the piano, but then I'm writing drummer. And I'm like, and that's where all the confusion with your last name came from. I was like totally, it was one of those minutes there, because I was like, well, I'm putting down that he's a drummer, but then the picture has him on keys, and I'm like just double checking. I'm saying, please, Lord, let me make sure I'm interviewing the right person.
Oh, it's all good. I understand the confusion, because I do little mistakes and oopses all the time too. But the photo with me playing keyboards was deliberate. I mean, when I did the photo shoot with a fantastic photographer named Joanna Siegman, I told her, I don't want to do a typical drummer photo shoot, because this album is about keyboards and stuff. So, you know, we took some photos of me playing piano and photos of me writing. And I was, you know, the photos were supposed to focus on me as a composer and a keyboard player, so that smooth jazz fans, when they see the album, they wouldn't get scared and think, oh, no, it's a drum solo extravaganza. So it's all about, you know, trying to, the image and the album cover needs to kind of say what the music is about. And I mean, later in the future, I will do a jazz fusion drum feature album, so I can show off in that respect. But for now, it's, you know, it's smooth jazz.
No, and I love it. I love it. I mean, it's one of the very nicest CDs that I've heard lately. And you said that you need to practice on your keys. Well, I think it's I think you did amazing, outstanding. Really, I really, really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
And one that I really, really enjoyed that I would like to play, it is Midnight Rain. I love that one.
Uh-huh.
Why are you laughing? Did you like it? can you tell me what's the story behind it?
I like all the songs, and it's always just fun to hear.
You put them in the album.
Well, yeah, it's just always fun to hear what people's favorites are or what song really stood out for them. It's just always fun, because you never know. Everybody has a different favorite or a different, you know, comment that they say about it. So, Midnight Rain was just, I woke up in the middle of the night like I always do, and it was raining outside. It was a soft, gentle rain that people always like to hear, that soft, gentle rain sound that's very soothing. And this little idea came into my head, just the little melody thing. And so I just picked up my cell phone and just sang the idea into it. That's usually how I, when I come up with a song idea, I just, this little idea pops in my head, and so I just sing it into my phone, and then the next day, you know, go to my studio and start working on the song, and it just, you know, Midnight Rain. I mean, it was, I think it was 1:30 a.m. when this idea came to me, but Midnight Rain sounds like a better title than 1:30 a.m. Rain.
And there's been quite a few of those, 12:30 a.m., 2 a.m., and stuff like that. So, no, I like that. Well, I'm going to play that now. And this CD came out late last year, correct?
Yes, October of 2013.
So it's still new. So here it is from Kenwood Anderson from his new CD, A Handful of Grooves, which it does have, one of my favorites, Midnight Rain. Well, here it is, and up close and personal. Here you go. Thank you. I'm sorry, I'm talking, I'm paying you all these praises and I have the phone on mute. I'm sorry. That it was so beautiful. How long did it take you to compose that?
That one probably, it's hard to say because I'm
Which
trying to remember
is?
Exactly how many actual minutes or hours I spent. I think that song, the main idea of it came very quickly. I got most of the song, maybe most of the song done in maybe a couple hours. And then I spent a few days just off and on just messing with it, just changing arrangements, changing sounds, and just re-recording parts. So it's always hard to say. I know that song, I got the idea very quickly and just getting it going very quickly. And then especially like the piano
solo
in the middle. Oh, thank you. It was just something that, was inspired by real life. I mean, musicians are inspired by, things that happen, and it could be anything, and it's just anything can give you an idea. And I was lucky with that one. kind of wrote itself.
Tell me something, Ken. You don't mind if I call you Ken, right?
No, that's okay.
Now tell me something. Where do you go from here? What are you expecting as a musician now to do? What is it that you want to do from now on?
I'm promoting this album. I'm, doing everything myself because I'm my own record label, basically. So just doing a lot of promotion, and there's a lot more to be done. And I hope to eventually get some shows booked where myself and my band can play these songs live, play these songs and also new songs that I have written. I've got a bunch of new songs written, and I'm just doing a lot of stuff right now. I am writing and producing music with two up-and-coming female singers, and it's been really challenging because I'm spending a lot of time doing it, and doing that and trying to promote my album is just it's taken up all my free time, but that's good because it keeps me out of trouble. I'm doing it's a lot of basically just turning the TV off and saying, you've got to work on this, you got to get this done. So I'm working with these two artists. I will announce details about that later on. And mainly just promoting, this album. And I definitely plan to do another smooth jazz album later in the year. I basically need to just promote this album enough first. And I would like to get a lot more people to check it out and become aware of it, of course. And the beauty of it is I can just do it, at any time. I mean, I'm not under pressure, so I can, as far as the second album, the new songs I'm writing, I've written a lot of stuff, but making sure that the stuff I'm writing is good, is as good as what I've done before or maybe better. So there's writing stuff, throwing things away. Saying that was a terrible idea, throw it away, don't do that anymore, you can do better. A lot of that going on. So it sounds a little chaotic, and it is because I'm doing a bunch of things all at one time, but it is fun and I enjoy doing it and it keeps me motivated. So I'm not playing drums as much right now. In fact, I had to leave the Real Deal band that I was playing with. I had to leave them just because I didn't have time to commit to them because of my new projects that I'm doing. So right now I'm being a studio rat, as they say, and writing a lot and collaborating, and then and then practicing more too, trying to practice more. So that's a long.
What was
sentence,
it? How is the change from drums to keys? I mean, it's that, I mean, again, to find a musical term for it, but when you switched over and decided that you wanted to do more of your keys, is there a transformation that you have to go through mentally in order to do, you know, concentrate now on the keys versus the drums?
Yes. In some ways, it's not a big challenge just because of the kind of musician I am, even though I played drums most of my life. I also played piano, and even when I listen to music, I listen to all the instruments. I enjoy, you know, I'm a fan of guitar and keyboards and bass and all of that. So that just sort of helps for me. I just say, well, it's all music. So I never have a problem jumping from one to the other, but I notice, like on days when I'm practicing drums or playing a gig on drums and it takes a lot of energy for me to play, when I'm done, I can't come home and write a song. It's like my brain needs to really just clear out, and so I can't, like, switch over to keyboard mode or writing mode until the next day. It takes a while for my brain to reset from that, which is interesting and frustrating sometimes, too. So,
and I can imagine. Because you just want to dance that beating on the keys instead.
Yeah, it's drums are so physical, and it, you know, it puts your brain into that sort of space. It's hard to explain, because I just had this problem on Saturday. I went to I practiced drums Saturday morning, and then came home and said, okay, I got to write another song, and I was trying to write something, and everything I was coming up with was terrible. So I realized, okay, forget it, just... you know, try again tomorrow, you know.
Another favorite song of mine is Before You Go. They're all my favorites, but I mean, it's you can't choose, really, and I don't know why I even say my favorite or my second favorite. Before You Go, that is, oh my God, it's such a sweet melody, such a sweet tune. What was the drop for that?
Well, that's a song about the end of a relationship. That was a song that was inspired by a woman I was dating. We kind of knew the relationship was ending, and it's, you know, sort of like my saying goodbye to her, or saying, you know, don't leave, maybe we can work this out before you go, you know.
I'm getting chills.
Because, you know, a lot of my, some of my favorite pop songs and R&B songs are like that. Like, what's that song, Let's Just Kiss and Say Goodbye? I mean, that's a song that gives me chills, and you know, songs like that. There's a George Benson tune called Let Me Love You One More Time. You know, songs like that, I mean, that's sort of my version. Before You Go is sort of my version of that kind of song, that kind of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You're almost like, you know, baby, please don't go, you know. it's that kind of thing. So there it is.
Well, I want to play that because, I mean, it brings chills. When I heard it, and now when you described it, it really made sense. Well, here it is from Kenwood Anderson's new release, A Handful of Grooves, Before You Go. Dig this out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lord have mercy.
I have to say, the guitarist, Shin Kawasaki, he just knocked it out of the park. He's one of my favorite musicians, just a great guy. And I just, when I was writing the song, I said that I got to have him play on this. It definitely needs, you know, a real guitar player. And I didn't tell him what to play. I mean, I wrote the melody on the little keyboard thing and sent it to him. And he just added all these little inflections and articulations, and, you know, sometimes he'd play the melody in octaves, sometimes he wouldn't, you know, harmonizing stuff, and it just, you know, and the solo would just, I don't know if it's one take, but it sounds like one take, and it just, he was perfect for it. And he just really brought the song, like I said, to a whole nother level. So thank you, Shin, for doing that.
Yeah, I was trying to say his name because I'm looking at your album right now. And but you know me and that Cuban accent, I'd be killing people's names. So yeah, Shin Kawasaki, yeah, whatever. Ken, Shin, he is amazing. Yes. Who is Nicole? Don't make me laugh, please. I've been in such a giddish mood today since this morning.
Yep. But you're like that every time I talk to you, so you know it's nothing new. You're...
Oh, thank you.
You are always,
I mean, today I've been, well, thank you. yeah, we did laugh a lot last time. Who is Nicole?
Nicole is a woman I had a relationship with many years ago, just one of my favorite people in the world. We didn't stay together because she moved to another country because she got a great job offer that she had to take. So, but we just had a great relationship, and you know, it was for some reason. I mean, I started writing that song, and I think it was literally the first song that I tried to write for this album, and it came together very quickly. And as I was listening to playback one day, it just popped into my head. I said, "This song reminds me of Nicole." I don't know why, but something about her personality and her sense of humor, and you can't explain it. so that's her song, and I think it's my favorite song. I'm biased. I mean, not just because of Nicole, but it was just another just pleasant surprise that I couldn't believe that I wrote this. You know, when it was all done, I thought, I can't believe that I did this. And it's just a special song for a special lady.
Well, she's very lucky. Well, here it is, Nicole from Kenwood Anderson's new release, A Handful of Grooves. Here we go.
Thank you.
All I can say is Nicole must have been very uplifting in your life because it's a very upbeat song. I love it.
Thank you. Yes, she was. She was cool. She was just a lot of fun.
Now, when you lay, because I know that you did the keyboards and the drums on the album, so I don't know anything behind the music, so I'm asking, I guess, because I want to know, which one did you do first? Because I know you, I hear the term, I laid this track and I laid this first. So which one? I gather you did the piano first and then did the drums behind that, or how did you do it?
I think it's different for different songs. I know with Nicole, I just put down drums first. I think I just put down just a beat and then I just looped it, and then I came up with a bass line. I think that's how it started, is getting a bass line first, and then, oh, this is pretty cool, and then I put some chords to it, and I just put it together in bits and pieces. I'll come up with one instrument first. It'll be either a chord progression on the piano or a bass line, but I'll just put one part, and maybe that part will be the verse, and I'll just record that 8 bars and then go like, okay, what's supposed to be next? I need a chorus. And then I will just go in sections as I'm writing, just playing stuff, recording stuff, re-recording stuff, sort of putting things together, like putting a puzzle together. And I don't really go in a linear fashion. I'll jump from one track to another and back and forth, and I don't do it beginning to end. It's just, my brain's a little nutty, so I just go and just whatever inspiration comes to mind at that instant, I'm doing that. But later, after I put the pieces of the song together, then I'll go back and record parts for real. Like I'll take the bass, the keyboard bass track, and I'll record a part for the entire song, and then I'll go back and do the piano part and for the entire song, and so I'll piece everything together first and then go back and record one instrument at a time, it all in one take, although I had to do many takes because I'm not a perfect keyboard player, but
it's beautiful, so stop saying that.
Thank you. I just say that because I couldn't, like playing keyboards live, it's very tough for me to play keyboards live and not make a bunch of mistakes. So I'm not at the level yet where I could play a song all the way through without making some obvious mistakes. But in the studio, you can re-record parts, you can punch in and record, one phrase or a few bars or whatever. So, there was a lot of that. It is cheating a little bit, but everybody does it. I mean, so unless you're just a masterful keyboard player. So versus drums, I could play drums for a whole song and not make a mistake if it's a good day. But keyboards, I'm not as good a keyboard player as I am a drummer. So keyboards has to, I have to have a little help from the computer and just, re-recording parts until I get it right. So.
Well, at least you're honest about it, and that right there gives you an A plus. So, because if you feel that way, then that's, as a listener and as a fan of yours, I think it's just perfect. But then, it sounds like you really, really go through, it's a challenge process, whether you were perfect or not. It sounds like a challenging process to go through, from one to the other, one to the other, and to just make one song sound that beautiful. So congratulations.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. It is a challenge to the songs good, and that was my number one goal, because I realized, anybody, when they have, everybody loves songs or their favorite songs or songs that they respond to, the songs are performed well and they're written well. And so that was that, you know, it took me a long time to put this album together, only because I wanted to make sure all the songs were as good as I could make them. And actually the reason that there's only 5 songs on this album is because I had other songs that weren't good enough. I did 10 songs. I recorded 10 songs, and one day I listened to all the songs in the order that they were going to be on the album, and it was obvious that some of the songs just were not as good. And I just said, you know, let me just take off these other songs, put them on other albums or throw them away, you know, and do something better. But I just thought, let me just put out these 5 songs, make it an EP, you know, and it's only $5.99, so it's that you're getting your money's worth. I'm not charging you for tracks that aren't there. But I just said, let me just put out my 5 best songs, and that way there's no filler, there's no weak songs that somebody might skip over. You know, so.
And that's true, and that's true, because you buy a song, an album that has 10, 11, 12 songs, and you only listen to half of it any daggone way.
Yeah, and I know everybody goes through that. It's, I mean, there's, I don't want to sound like people my age and my generation, and a lot of people are fond of albums from in the past, in the 70s, 80s, 60s. You know, there was a time where albums, where every song on the album was good or great, and you would listen to all of them. And, you know, these days that may not be the case, depending on who you're listening to. So that was something that always stuck with me. You know, when you do an album, like, every song has to be good. You know, you try to do it. I mean, you just try your best, and you hope that the audience likes all of the songs, and you hope that they don't skip any tracks.
Yeah, because you said right to put a lot of fillers, you know, and those are the ones that we just skip right on. We keep on doing that. quick question.
Mm-hmm.
It just went right over my head, I'm telling you. How old are you? Because you keep on talking about, you know, how old are you?
I'm 45.
Okay. Yeah, because you make it sound like, you know, you're 99 and stuff, you know. You're young.
Well,
so wait a minute. So you're talking about that you need to practice, so, and that you don't do as well playing the piano. So how do you expect to go out here and do performances on keys if you feel like that? What is it going to take, and how long is it going to take you to get good enough to be on a stage?
Well, that's easy. When I perform with my band, I'm going to be playing drums, and I'll have a keyboard player somebody who's better than I am on keyboard.
But Ken, that's not fair, though, because I love your key styles. I really do. So that's not fair.
Well, thank you, but it's like I said, if I played keyboards live, everybody would want their money back, and you know, people would call me off. People would unplug the keyboard. I'm not
You're
there
horrible.
Yet. Maybe next year I'll be able to throw down that way. But no, I mean, that was always my intention. I said, let me, you know, and I have a couple of keyboardists in mind. I'm still kind of looking for players, but yeah, I mean, there's so many just amazing keyboardists all over the place, you know, especially in Los Angeles. So, you know, get somebody that can really throw down, and the music will be better for it. And I'll play drums where I'm most comfortable, and you know, I might give myself a drum solo for ego purposes, but you know, there'll be a keyboard player who's really, really good, and you know, it just, that's the way it's supposed to be. It's like you hire the best people that you can get. Yes, I'm cheating again. I'm cheating myself by pretending to be a keyboardist, but not playing keyboards live. But the point is, the music needs to be played with as little mistakes as possible. So, you know, put me on the drums and no one will complain.
Well, I'm not complaining. I just hope that eventually you will feel comfortable enough to play these beautiful songs live, because they are beautiful. Whether you think you cheated or not, they are beautiful.
So. Well, thank you. I do. I really, that's one of my life's goals, is to get my keyboard playing up to par so that I can play, you know, play live and do stuff. So, I mean, I played in recitals and stuff back in school, and I do miss doing that. Man, I was pretty good back then. I need to, but I was, you know, so focused on drums for such a long time, and the keyboards fell by the wayside. So it, you know, it took me about 4 years to get this album together, mostly because I was just practicing keyboards and getting my chops back together. So I'm giving away all my secrets.
That's okay. Well, now I want to play Strolling. What was that all about? Okay. So the way I got it, it's like a little story here going on in this. You had your relationship with Nicole, then you started with somebody else, then that didn't work out, so you tell her before you go, then you sat in the midnight rain. See, I made my own little story here. And then you went strolling down the beach, and then you kept on and kept on. That's my story.
That works. That ties all the song titles together.
I just worked the whole little story here with these five songs. But no, can you tell me about Strolling, please?
There's no big story to that. I wrote the song. I didn't have a title for a long time, and then I think I was taking a walk somewhere and was thinking about how, especially in high school, like one of the important things for a teenager to do is develop his cool walk, because you're trying to impress the girls and whatever. So I just, for some reason, I just thought of that back at that time, you know, like eighth or ninth grade, trying to walk cool and it just said maybe that's what the song is about, something about, because it makes you feel cool when you listen to it, and it's just like, you know, you're bopping down the street, you got your walk going on, you got your game on, something like that.
And you had your pants on too. Nowadays, these kids are doing. Their pants be going down their butts.
Yeah, you can't.
And back
can't
in the
be
day,
sagging.
You know, the guys, they had, everybody had their cool walks and everything, but they had the pants on. You know, now they're
exactly.
Trying to do the cool walk with the pants falling, and then that, you know, since they're trying to hold their pants while they walk, that cool walk is not cool at all.
It's very entertaining. I see that often.
Nah, I was at the mall yesterday waiting for my daughter, because I don't do malls anymore. Not with her anyway. And I was sitting in the, you know, in the parking lot, and I'm seeing all these, you know, all these youngins walking around, you know, trying to have a cool walk. And I said, dude, that's not the walk. That's because you're trying to hold onto your pants, you know, without your hands. They're trying to do the hips to hold them. And the ones that have no butts, those are really hard to watch.
That's what's hard.
Let me stop. Okay, here we go, Strolling. Oh, God, let me stop.
You are too silly. Thank you.
Nice. Nice.
Thank you.
You remember, if I could only remember the name back in the day, you know, when The Hustle came out?
Yes.
That's something like back then.
Yeah, it was, I was a kid back in the 70s, but it was, I mean, even the kids back then knew all the latest dances, you know. They were too young to be doing the dances, going to the discos and stuff, but they somehow knew them and found out and were teaching each other. And so, yeah, I knew.
I love The Hustle. Mm.
It was so good they wouldn't have thought about it.
Yeah. I love The Hustle. And there's another one, Walking in Rhythm. Walking in Rhythm back then. Oh, yeah. Because on my wedding day, I was hustling. I did my hustle, walking. I love The Hustle. I had to teach it to my non-dancing husband, but, I love The Hustle. Oh, man, Kenwood, I love this CD. I really, really wish you much success. And with no doubt, I know you will continue doing both the drums and keys. And maybe one day I'll get to see you perform both live. That would be really off the hook.
Yes, I hope to do that. I definitely want to get out there and perform live for everybody and do some traveling.
So besides the goal of becoming, the perfection on the keys, what else do you have planned? What do you want to do as far as your next album? And, you know, I mean, I know you said that you want it to be drum-based, but are there any goals that you are planning for the next couple of years?
Yes, I am. Well, I'm definitely going to do another smooth jazz album.
I'm going to stop you right there. And that's a question that I was going to ask you earlier, but then I started playing a song. Why smooth jazz? Why do you consider yourself, or why do you want to be a smooth jazz player? Why the title, under that title, smooth jazz?
That music, this style of smooth jazz always came naturally to me as a songwriter, because even all the time that I was writing, in college I did write some traditional jazz music that I will definitely record at some point, because that music is still good. That needs to get out there. But I've always, been a lifelong jazz musician, but I've also always played so much R&B and rock and pop and top 40 and everything. So I've always been into everything. But whenever I would write, most of the songs I would write just sounded like smooth jazz. So when I decided to write, to do this album, I said, let me just put out a smooth jazz album, because I was already getting ideas for songs and they just sounded like smooth jazz songs. Let me just do this. And the song Nicole was the very first song I came up with, and that was a happy accident. And I said, okay, that sets the tone for the album. I need to do music like this. So I just did that, and I think as an artist, I'm always going to do smooth jazz music for the most part. So I'll do another smooth jazz album this year. Maybe next year do a harder jazz fusion album that's a lot different. And in the meantime, in between those things, doing writing and producing for vocalists. The two singers I'm working with now, it's going to take up a lot of my time happily, and I'm really happy and excited to be working on stuff. I was just working on another song for one of the singers today. So I'm going to put out those two albums this year. And after that, do work on my next smooth album, I guess. I don't have them scheduled, but right now it's like I want to finish the two albums with the vocalists and then to the next smooth jazz album, and then.
And you mentioned also that you were doing film scores.
Well, I did. I played on some film soundtracks and independent films just over the years. Just little things here and there. I think the one that's most known. There was a Charlie Brown TV movie that was on Fox TV a couple of years ago. That I played on the soundtrack for that, and that was a real treat to do that. And trying to think, and I played on a McDonald's commercial a long time ago, but I've done a lot of recordings for commercials and stuff that never saw the light of day for one reason or another. I've been a side man for a long time, and then been a band member for a long time. And, you know, like the band Real Soul, I was with them for 10 years, I think, almost something like that. And that was just an amazing time. It was so much fun and a great learning experience, and it definitely paved the way for what I'm doing now, because now that, okay, I'm putting out an album, I got to put a band together and, you know, set up shows and be the band leader and be the business person. And so I learned a lot of those skills from Andre Hines, who was the producer and band leader for the band Real Soul. I learned a lot from him just by being with them. And also the lead singer, Rio, she was just an incredible businesswoman and songwriter. And they just taught me a lot just by me being there. So, you know, all of my past experiences, you know, paved the way for this album and everything I'm going to be doing in the future.
Awesome. I usually ask 5 questions about Ken Anderson that no one knows. 5 things. Can you think of 5
okay.
things?
5 things. Right now I'm addicted to blueberries. It's a true story. I have a pint of blueberries every single day.
Before you go on, I want to say that I'm looking at the back of the cover of your album, and I guess your hand expression is like you were having a conversation with someone. So I feel like you are actually literally talking to me because of your hand expression on your album.
Well,
I know,
thank you.
Right?
That was,
I feel like I'm talking to you.
Well, that's perfect, because that photo was taken while I was talking. The photographer, Joanna, she was great with giving direction and suggestions and telling me, you know, look this way or think about this. And she, you know, we did a lot of posed still photographs, and then she took a bunch of photos of me just candidly just talking or walking or tripping over a cord or whatever. And so that the picture on the back cover is just me talking. And
and I feel like you're talking to me literally. I pay attention. I pay attention. I gotta get an A for effort, okay? Because I do pay attention.
Well, I appreciate
you
that.
You and I cannot talk. I'm telling you, you and I cannot talk, because it's nothing but laughing. I tell you. Okay, go back to number 2. Tell me number 2.
You want to know 5 things. I told you the blueberry story. I'm a perfectionist, but I'm trying not to be. There's something about, I want things to be perfect and come out a certain way, but if they don't, I'm learning to just say, just don't worry about it. You know, I'm getting better at just laughing at my mistakes and letting things go and letting more imperfections work their way into my projects and stuff.
So you must have had a great time going over Facebook and saying, oh, yeah, Ken would, what did I put it? See, I don't even remember. I don't know. Ken Wood, what was the last name I gave you on Facebook?
Oh, yeah, Ken Wood Howard. Thank you.
Yeah.
You mixed me up with another person.
So you must have had a fit when you saw that.
No, it did bother me because, I mean, it is funny because I've been a perfectionist for so long, but I make mistakes all the time. I mean, just every little thing, you know, can't find my keys, lost my pen, you know, did I wash my hair or not? I mean, just constantly, you know, I mean, everybody makes mistakes. There's no such thing as perfection. So you know, I'm having a great time just, you know, having that perfectionist instinct and then saying, you stop it. You're only human. You know, don't worry about it. So, and actually, you know, like I've been a great speller all my life. My parents really educated me well, and I was always good with grammar and spelling and English and stuff. But lately, the last few years, when I type and I write, I make spelling mistakes constantly. It's ridiculous. And it's just ironic that I'm, oh, Mr. Perfectionist, you can't even spell right. So, you know, you just say, forget it. You can't be, you know, there's no such thing as perfection. I heard that from somebody somewhere. But it's really true, and it's all about just letting go and just trying to enjoy things more and take things for what they are.
Okay, so number three.
Number three, my chair is squeaking and it's driving me nuts. And maybe I'll sit on the floor. The floor won't squeak. That's not a response you were looking for, but that is something that was happening with me right now. See, I put that in this, and now that's an answer I don't have to think about, because it's really hard for me to think of, you know, what about myself is interesting. I don't know. let's see. Okay, blueberries. I seem to think about food a lot. I don't know why.
Well, yeah, now you said the blueberries again. Why are you addicted to the blueberries? Did it tell you it was good for you, it was healthy, or you just got the taste for it?
I just got the taste for it. I've been on a health kick. Well, I've always been working out and exercising, and I almost said I've been trying to eat healthy, but that was not always true in the past. I made many bad decisions with junk food and all that. But a few months ago, I started taking a different workout. I've been going to a workout class called Drenched Cardio, and it is what it sounds like. It's just high-intensity cardio workouts, just super high-intensity stuff, and it's a local gym here in North Hollywood run by a family-owned business, wonderful people, and it was a life-changing workout. It just, the first couple of classes I took were just amazing, and ever since then, it forced me to say, okay, you really need to eat healthy now, because in order to just keep doing these classes and having the energy and being able to keep going with them. So it, and you know, it just forced me to, it made me not crave the junk food anymore, because I've been a lifelong, I had a sweet tooth my whole life and loved ice cream and cake and all that yummy stuff. And I've had to just cut most of it out because it's like, I can't, you know, doing these classes and stuff. And it literally makes you crave, it made me crave fruit and, you know, healthier snacks rather than, you know, a giant slice of double chocolate cake and all that stuff. Mm. So I just, you know, went to the store one day, grabbed some blueberries for the moment, and now I eat them every day as a snack. It's insane. And I don't share them with anybody. Nobody can have any of my blueberries. You have to get your own. You cannot have any of mine.
Well, funny that you say that, because my daughter and I were just talking about that. As a matter of fact, after the show, that's what we're going to go get some fruits and stuff, because we're talking about, like, this last couple of days, we went out and just, you know, out to dinner, and I went to a Cuban restaurant, and my fault is the flan. It's like a custard. It's nothing but milk and sugar. It's a custard. And I'm telling you, I bypassed dinner and went straight to it, to the dessert, and then had the audacity to take two home. One I ate on the way, and one I ate in front of the computer. And she's like, you know what? They're going to start have to start rolling the doors for you to walk through. So, therefore, we're going to have to do something about it. I went to GNC and I told the guys, okay, make me skinny. He just looked at me like there's no miracle.
So
I came out of there with a lot of stuff, but I'm telling you, it's nothing about nothing like eating healthy. That's the bottom line. That's the key.
I totally understand that feeling. You know, like I said, my whole life I just would eat whatever I saw, and really just, you know, now got to the point where I got to make a change, and especially for playing drums too, because drums is such a physical instrument. And
can't get out of breath while you're trying to do that.
Oh yeah, I mean it's, you know, you get out of breath and you need to be in good shape to really play at your best ability and play long shows and stuff. You know, playing with the real deal band, we would play, you know, 4 or 5 hours a night, just high energy dance music, you know, nonstop, and we're, you know, keeping the crowds dancing and one song after another, and it's just a lot of, you know, for the drummer, it's very demanding, and you got to be in really great shape to do that and enjoy it and not get worn out. So, you know, that band and those shows were just great training for me. It's like, you know, it's like playing a Bruce Springsteen show or something, just marathon sessions of just playing, you know, several hours a night. And but it was great fun because it's the crowds always loved us wherever we played, and they kept dancing. And
but let's be honest,
you know,
though. Let's be honest real quick, okay? If you're sitting down playing the drums, and you just sit down playing the drums, your arms are doing the work. And your feet, of course, for the paddle thingy that you guys push.
Right.
You're feeling like, how much shape do you need to be sitting in front of the drums, really? I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, it looks
like
easy because
you're sitting
down. Well, sometimes I do. So, you know, I move a lot when I play too.